You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon. Presented by Reese's.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the end of an era. The man who has done it all for New Orleans is taking his talents to Canton, and we've got a lot to say. Meanwhile, his rival may be on the verge of his best season ever. One of us thinks it could be a perfect scenario. And let the dance begin. We will tell you exactly when the clock will strike midnight for Cinderella this March. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. Greeny here in New York. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Boy, do we have a lot of sports to get to. Obviously, the madness of March is upon us. And a reminder, we're part of the Tournament Challenge. It's presented by Reese's. You can sign up to play at ESPN.com/bracket. We will help you with your brackets with Sean Farnham in just a moment. Meanwhile, enormous week in the NFL. The whole sport could be reshaped. Legal tampering begins today, noon Eastern. Look who's ready to go. Orlovsky, Graziano, Shefty, and Dominique Foxworth, and they won't be alone. But even that isn't our top story from the NFL today. This is the huge breaking news of yesterday. Drew Brees announcing his retirement after 20 brilliant seasons in the National Football League. He was a guest just moments ago on the Today Show on NBC.
You know, that's a decision that you don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to retire. It's definitely a process. And listen, I'm 42 years old. I've had a chance to play this game for 20 years in the NFL. And I think for the last few years, you know, I felt like this moment was coming. And it just made me so laser focused on staying in the moment. And I want to be able to look back with incredible memories and knowing that I gave it my absolute best.
Adam Schefter gets up with us here. Schefter, what do we know about what went into this decision?
Greeny, the truth of the matter is it really wasn't much of a decision during the offseason. The Saints never vacillated off the fact that they did not expect Drew Brees to return this season. And in fact, if we go back to last offseason, he told them at the Pro Bowl that he was retiring last offseason. Now, last offseason, he did change his mind. And if he hadn't changed his mind, there's a good chance Tom Brady might have been playing quarterback for the New Orleans Saints this past season. But Brees did decide to return. Brady didn't have a landing spot in New Orleans. He wound up going to Tampa, and Drew Brees came back for one more year. I think everybody operated all along as if this was going to be his last season. And even though he never made anything official from the time the season ended until yesterday, the Saints never thought for a moment that Drew Brees was coming back. And so they've been proceeding all along, and I think Drew Brees has been planning to move ahead in his life. He just happened to make it official on the 15-year anniversary to the day that he did sign with New Orleans, which I remind you, Greeny, was at a time where people were fleeing the city. People were going out of it after Hurricane Katrina. Drew Brees went in, and that's why, one of the main reasons why he's so beloved there, because he helped resurrect that franchise and that city at a time when it needed it most.
I think you could make an argument that no athlete has ever meant more to the city in which they played than Drew Brees has to New Orleans. We will talk at great length about him and give him his due in just a moment. But, Shefty, it does beg the question, if the Saints have known this was coming all along, then they have already begun making their plans for the future. Who should we expect to be their quarterback next year?
They reworked Taysom Hill's contract over the weekend and gave him, and again, let's put this out there, four-year, $140 million deal. That's not really a four-year, $140 million deal. The 4 year is void, but you have to do the deal to a quarterback's value. And so what that move does, more than anything else, and really the only thing it does, is it saves the Saints $7.5 million against the cap this year, which gives them more flexibility, which allows Taysom Hill to come in, and which may even give them some flexibility to try to sign Jameis Winston, who they'd like to bring back and have compete with Taysom Hill for the starting job in New Orleans this summer. Hill, Winston is the most logical course of action. We know Hill is going to be there. We'll see if they could get a deal done in the end with Winston, which they'd like to do. And those would be the two most logical candidates to try to replace the Hall of Fame candidate in Drew Brees.
Yes, they would. But, Shefty, it is impossible for me not to remind you that it was to you whom Russell Wilson's agent said the Saints are one of the teams he'd be willing to be traded to. I would not be doing my job if I didn't say, should that even be in the conversation? Should we even mention the name Russell Wilson in this discussion?
Yeah, it should be mentioned because it's out there. But here's the thing. As all these teams are setting out to fill quarterback needs this week and with the draft next month, nobody knows if Seattle or Houston is going to go ahead and trade its quarterback. Nobody knows. And I think nobody can count on it. So every team is left in an odd position this week and next month of having to make plans. And by the way, maybe even filling a position that would cost you the chance to get Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. But nobody can count on that right now. That's the problem. And so if you're the New Orleans Saints, even though, yes, you'd love to make a deal for Russell Wilson, you can't sit there and count on that happening. If that happens to materialize, and let me say that there is a history of trades, big trades, between these two teams. We saw Jimmy Graham, Max Unger, other players dealt between these two particular franchises. Then New Orleans would love that, and it would make the plans at that point in time. But it can't head into the offseason that begins this week, really, and say, well, we're in the thick of it for Russell Wilson. Everybody is hopeful on the outside that they can land Russell Wilson, but nobody's counting on landing Russell Wilson.
We'll have much more on him in a few minutes. Shefty, outstanding as always. Thank you, my man. Meanwhile, I want to show everybody what Tom Brady said yesterday. Brady with a nice note for Breeze on Twitter. Congratulations, my friend, on an incredible career. Thank you for the inspiration and dedication on and off the field. Look forward to seeing what is next. And so let's bring in the rest of the crew here. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky, where do we begin? I mean, you played the quarterback position. I know how much admiration you have. How do we describe what made Drew Brees so special as a player for 20 years?
Yeah, one, Drew Brees is the greatest NFL free agent signing ever. Mm-hmm. Yes, better than Reggie White. Yes, better than Peyton Manning. And yes, better than prime Deion Sanders. I think Drew Brees is one of the greatest players, certainly at his position, to ever come into the NFL. He's also one of the greatest people to ever come into the NFL and the impact that he had on his organizations. And then, Greeny, lastly, like, he absolutely has earned a seat at the table when we have the conversation, greatest of all time at the position. When we look at NFL records, Drew Brees' name is going to be up there on a ton of them, if not at the very top. So he's the greatest free agent signing in the history of the NFL to me.
Yeah, and Neek, you know, you played against him. And so I just wonder, when we talk about what made guys uniquely great, I mean, you look at the guy and there was nothing imposing about him physically, all the rest of that. What made him so difficult to be on the field against?
Accuracy. I think plain and simple was accuracy. He could put the ball wherever he wanted, whether he read the coverage well or not. It didn't matter because he was going to put the ball where it needed to be, where you weren't going to be able to intercept it or you would have to make a great play to break it up like you see me doing right there. Damn, I was good. But anyway, Orlovsky set me up for a lot of great arguments there. Talking about greatest of all time, I think it's unfair. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm going to use this moment to praise Drew Brees and not argue with Dan. Because Dan was saying some wild stuff, but Drew Brees is a phenomenal quarterback, incredibly accurate, and one of the things that made his career so impressive, I think in my view, is the lows that he reached. He got so low at one point when he played in that game when his shoulder got torn up in San Diego, and there weren't a lot of options. There weren't a lot of teams that wanted Drew Brees. It seemed like he was going to be a draft bust. But he went from that to having one of the best careers we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. So that is part of the reason why I appreciate Drew Brees' career. That and also him being a willing spokesperson for the Players Association, something that a lot of quarterbacks don't do. So Drew Brees has been a great player and a great person in the NFL.
Yeah, he was a leader in that regard. I saw some notes from Jamora Smith posting those yesterday. And we can start getting into some of these debates in a little bit. But just to sort of finish it here on this for the moment, and we'll have much more on Drew as the day goes on. Graziano, Shefty touched on it briefly. People across the sports spectrum yesterday will see the note that Taysom Hill signed a $140 million contract with the Saints. And I think most people will say, wait, what? Explain why that is not in any way what it is people think it is.
If the contract voids automatically after this year, then it really doesn't matter what the figures are on the remaining 4 years. They could have made it a four-year $5 million deal or a four-year $11 trillion deal. Like, it doesn't, they're just making up numbers here. So what you have is a situation where you have to be able to defray the signing bonus over a period of 5 years for salary cap purposes, but you can only do that if the contract has 5 years left on it. So they add these four fake years. If it voids after this season, the remaining signing bonus hits next year's cap. That's a little quick salary cap math. But yes, to Adam's point, they will still try and bring in Jameis Winston on a deal that makes sense for them as a, you know, probably an incentive-laden deal that if he becomes the starter, carries a lot more, maybe similar to what the Patriots did with Cam Newton last week. And they are well aware that they're on Russell Wilson's list, so they're not going to try and make any deals that lock them in and prevent them from getting into that if they ultimately do end up having a chance to make a play for Wilson.
Okay, we have to talk much more about Russell Wilson. We have to talk much more about Drew Brees. And we will in just a moment. But first, the other monster story. Oh, it's March Madness. It's back for the first time in 2 years. The NCAA tournament field is set, and unbeaten Gonzaga is the number one overall seed. They will look to cap off the first perfect season since Indiana in 76. Michigan is a one seed for the third time. They do it behind that man, Juwan Howard, the fourth coach to earn a one seed in his first appearance in the NCAA tournament. And COVID has hit title hopefuls Kansas and Virginia. Virginia won't travel to Indy until Friday. Three Kansas players will not travel at all. So that's one of the many storylines that hover over the NCAA tournament. And look who is back. Sean Farnham, whom we have not seen in an awful long time. Great to see you. And we'll do a little bit of bracket busting here as we go. Let's start with Gonzaga. They have a chance to do something we haven't seen in a really long time. What chance do you give them to run the table?
I give them a great opportunity. I mean, you look at the 2, 3, and 4 seed. They've played them already this season. They've already beaten them this season. This is a team and a program that is not just from a small school in Eastern Washington. This is a major player in college basketball. It's been a major player in college basketball. And think about this. They've got talent. They like to say, we got dudes. They got dudes out there. You have three players on the final 15 for the Wooden Award watch list. Since they've whittled that list down since 2011, down to 15, no school, not even Duke, with Zion, RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish. Never have you seen a school with three players on the top 15 list until this year with the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They're ultra efficient at the offensive end of the floor. They rank in the top 10 in adjusted offense and defensive efficiency, which has been the makeup of 5 out of the last 10 national champions.
Yeah, so to the message here to people who've not been paying close attention, Gonzaga is legit. They are that good, and they are
Grady, let me just tell you like this.
Yeah.
They're becoming the Duke of the West Coast. And while Coach K continues to get up in years, and yes, they missed this year's tournament, you look at what Mark Few has done already. He's the active leader in winning percentage as a head coach. And year in and year out, they've got pros, and they're ranked in the top five. All they're missing is a national championship and a great opportunity to get one this year.
Yeah, and it would be 32-0 if they do it. That is what Indiana was in 1976. Okay, so as folks are starting to look at their bracket, give me a team seeded 5 or lower that people should be considering to make a really significant run.
Okay, listen, it pains me to say this because of where I went to school. I'm going with USC. The Trojans, yeah, they lost in the semifinals to Colorado in what was a great game in the Pac-12 tournament, but USC's got a ton of length. They're the tallest team in all of college basketball, and the matchups are really good for them. You look at a potential second-round matchup against Kansas, you're talking about Evan Mobley, Isaiah Mobley, Taj Eady. Taj Eady's been probably the biggest key. Because he can make shots from the outside. But this is an elite-level defensive team that's really hard to prepare for because of the length that they have underneath. And the skill set that they bring, I think they can make it all the way to the Sweet 16. To the Elite Eight, excuse me. I have them all the way in the Elite Eight in my bracket. And I think that the only thing that could prohibit them from getting there is at times their guard play is questionable, meaning that they'll turn the ball over too much, they'll take some poor shots, and they don't get the ball to Evan Mobley as much as I would like to see.
Okay, so USC is a team to keep an eye on. Again, that pains him because he went to UCLA, who's playing in one of the early games. They don't like it when I call it.
We're in a playing game against Michigan State. I don't know what's going on there, Greeny.
They don't like it when I say play-in games. I was trying to remember what they call it, but that's
first
what everyone calls it.
First Fair four, enough. Whatever you want to
Thank
call
you.
It.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the first four. Let's talk about the final four. Who will be the last four standing at the end in Indianapolis? Sean Farnham.
Well, I looked at my brackets last night, and I have Gonzaga taking on Texas. Texas coming off of winning the Big 12 tournament championship. You look at Michigan without Isaiah Livers. That's a big problem for Juwan Howard as they get deeper and deeper in the NCAA tournament. And then I have a rematch of the Big 10 championship game on the other side. I just think when you look at Gonzaga and you look at Ohio State, you look at Illinois, you look at Texas, the last three teams were battle-tested throughout the course of conference play. And I think that's going to bode well for them in the NCAA tournament. For Gonzaga, they were so tested in the early portion of the season. They've been so dominant, so focused all season year. They're on a mission. It's a special group to be around. I've actually called two of their games in person, which in this COVID year, that's a rarity. But this team really enjoys playing the game. They space the floor brilliantly. These are four elite teams that can dance all the way to the Final Four.
Okay, Sean Farnham, stay with us. We'll have you back a little bit later in the show. You will give us a national champ, and you will give us a few other notes here as people start filling out their brackets in advance of the dance, which begins this week. Farnham, good to see you back. Meanwhile, back to the NFL for this next note. This continues to stay in the conversation. Russell Wilson to the Bears is heating up. Chicago, one of the four teams listed on Wilson's trade destinations. The Bears expect to make this a priority. Here was Jeremy Fowler with his thoughts yesterday.
The expectation league-wide is that Chicago is going to try to take a big swing here to get Russell. Now, Seattle has given no clear indication that they're going to trade him. Russell Wilson himself still does not expect to be traded, but Chicago's going to at least try to make that change and put together a package. That's what most people around the league do expect.
So, and again, I've mentioned this on the air many times. My friends in Chicago are ordering jerseys. Like, they're acting like this has already been done. Graziano, are we living in a world where Russell Wilson is going to get traded?
We're living in a world where it's not impossible. I still think it's more likely that he stays in Seattle than that he goes, but it's definitely not 100%. There's definitely enough there in terms of a fraying of the relationship that it could get to a point where it's considered. And Chicago's aware that it's on Russell Wilson's list, as well as I just mentioned New Orleans. But the main problem at this point is Seattle really has nowhere to go at quarterback if they move Russell Wilson. They only have four picks in this year's draft, and the first one is pick number 56. You know, they traded their first-round pick to the Jets in the Jamal Adams trade. They got free agent running backs on the brain. So Seattle needs a fallback option at quarterback, and it would have to be a good one. And this is a team that's, you know, used to making the playoffs every year, contending every year, has the oldest head coach in the league. It's probably not about to engage in a multi-year rebuild. So if you can't answer the question for Seattle of who your quarterback's going to be, then they're probably not inclined to trade you Russell Wilson.
Nick, why the face?
I mean, my mind is just blown. Like, if you would have told me that Seattle would even be considering
crazy.
That Russell Wilson is possibly leaving and that the only reason why he's not going is because they don't have a proper backup plan, that is crazy to me. I can't imagine what Russell must be doing or saying in that building to be one of the top two, three, four quarterbacks in NFL and them to be considering or talking about or saying all we need is a backup plan. Like, this is mind-blowing to me, and no one could have convinced me that this was a possibility at any point in the last several months until we had Schefter come on here and say that there are some people in the organization that might want to move on from him. It's just crazy to me, Greeny, that's all.
It is. I mean, it's stunning, and yet it seems to be out there, and it's going to be hard to make a deal, but Dan Orlovsky has been in the lab, and he's figured it out. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah,
you tell us how they're going to make this deal.
Get the shallow and narrow-minded people out here. Okay, first of all, stop thinking it's just Chicago and Seattle involved. It takes three to tango, okay? If I'm the Bears, I'm calling the New York Jets and going, all right, the Jets,
boy.
We're going to give you Khalil Mack. We'll give you our second-round pick. Maybe we'll give you Kyle Fuller or Allen Robinson so you get a lot better really quickly. Jets, then you're going to send Seattle three first-round picks, not the number two pick this year, but the latter first-round pick, then your two ones next year, and Sam Darnold. There you go, Seattle. Seattle, send Russell Wilson to Chicago. So Seattle gets a young quarterback. also three first-round picks to work with if they want to move up and go get somebody else this year. Chicago answers their desperate question. Who's going to play quarterback? You've had a great defense for like 30 years. It hasn't given you anything. And the Jets get two really, really, really good players and also another pick. So they still can get their quarterback this year, and they get a bunch of picks still moving forward also with plays. You got to stop thinking it's just Chicago and Seattle. We got to get creative and courageous, Ryan Pace, with how we're going to make this happen. Come on, Dom. Come on, Dom.
I love the creativity, but I couldn't keep up with the deal after you said it takes three to tango. I'm pretty sure the idiom is it takes two to tango. You don't just have to make your own stuff up.
You got to open up your mind,
bro. I don't know what you guys are into in the Orlovsky house, but in the Foxworth house, two tango. Two tango.
It takes three to dance.
Danny, rent the movie Scent of a Woman. It definitely only takes two to tango. Okay. We are just getting started. This is one of the busiest sports weeks we will ever have, and we are rolling on. Much more to come on Drew Brees, what his career should teach every NFL general manager. You'll hear that coming up. And then, if you think Brady and the Bucs were good this year, wait until you hear what Danny thinks they could do in 21. That's on the way. We're just getting started. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and you've got to see this throw. I mean, this is just, Dominique, take a look at this. This is Kike Hernandez coming in center field, and just watch him leave his feet. Bam. How about that?
That is a special throw. I've just been watching old clips of Scent of the Woman now that you got us watching that, and this whole court is out of order.
That's a mixed metaphor, but I like it either way. As we continue, Tom Brady has gone unbeaten in the regular season once. Question is, can he now do it again? One of our crew says, don't bet against it. And we have this. Sneaky Hembo is ready for Graziano on this Monday. And here's the question. Which player has received the most NFL MVP votes without ever actually winning the award? That's the question, and it's sneaky. The answer's next. Let's get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Need help filling out your bracket this year? Well, look no further than the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. With a host of auto-fill options to choose from, you can fill out as much or as little as you like. Pick your alma mater, let your pet lead the way, or lean on our experts to help you pick a winner. Go to ESPN.com/bracket or download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app now to sign up and play.
All right, here we go. Dan Graziano back, and it is sneaky Hembo time. Dan, which player received the most NFL MVP votes without ever actually winning the award?
I know he's sneaky, so I'm guessing it's not the obvious answer of today, which is Drew Brees, but I don't have a better guess. I know Brees finished second three or four times. I know he never won it. I'm gonna guess Drew Brees. I'm afraid I'm wrong.
See, if it had been Drew Brees, I'd have been disappointed in Hembo. The answer is Dan Fouts.
Not sneaky enough.
Exactly right.
Dan Fouts.
Right. Got 64 votes over the course of time. Amazingly, Brees got only 22 and a half. Never came particularly close. And so there it is. Hembo is making a comeback on Graziano. 14-10 is the score. It's a one-score game now between Graziano and Hembo. We'll keep an eye on it. All right, let's talk about Drew Brees. He's obviously so much in the conversation today. And one of the great players of all time ending his career yesterday. That's the pinnacle right there, 2009, winning the Super Bowl, beating the Colts. He holds more than a few NFL records, the all-time leader in passing yards, in completions, in 5,000-yard seasons. And yesterday announcing his retirement from the NFL 15 years to the day that he signed in New Orleans, March 14th of 2006, one of the most significant days. I think you could say the most significant day in the sports history of that city. And Mike Tannenbaum joins us here. And, you know, you had some interesting thoughts as we were talking this morning before the show, Mike, about the message that everyone should take in the National Football League from the career Brees put together these last 15 years.
Greeny, ultimately, it's a cautionary tale that the quarterback is a developmental position. And we have to remember, when he left the then San Diego Chargers, he had a very disappointing career as a second-round pick. The Chargers had to draft Phillip Rivers. He was too short, too small, not athletic enough, and then ultimately had a bad shoulder. And then, to his credit, resurrected his career to an all-time great. Went to Miami, failed their physical because of his shoulder, and then he went to New Orleans, and the rest is history. And Greedy, here's what's really remarkable. He was 27 years old when he signed as a free agent with the New Orleans Saints. You know who else is 27 years old and hopefully is going to be signing with the New Orleans Saints? Jameis Winston. And I'm not saying that Jameis Winston overnight is going to become a Hall of Fame quarterback, but what I am saying is he's 27, he started 70 games, and now a fresh start, hopefully as a starter in New Orleans. Let's see what happens, because if we were having this conversation about what was Drew Brees at the Chargers, it would have been very similar to what we're saying about Jameis Winston now. And ultimately, we got to remember, this is a developmental position.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. Brees, once upon a time, was the first pick in the second round of the draft. Winston, of course, was the first pick in the first round of the draft. Go ahead, Dan. We didn't get much from you in this. Again, just on Brees. It's the position you play. I know how much you admire him and the way he played it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that out of Mike T. It's interesting. You know, I want to share a story about Drew Brees. So when I was getting recruited out of Connecticut to go to college, one of my visits was Purdue. Drew Brees was actually my host when I visited Purdue. Again, like, I'm a 17-year-old high school senior here, and he, during that Friday or Saturday of the visit, he's like, hey, I want to go throw. I want to go work out. Drew Brees is this maniacal worker, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to come. So he went and decided to go throw with one of the receivers that played with him. Again, I think I'm 17, 18 years old. I think I'm the greatest thing in the world. I'm getting recruited by Purdue. And I'm watching this workout, and, like, within 10 minutes of the workout, I'm watching Drew throw, and I'm like, holy fudge, this dude does not miss. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to Purdue because I'm not nearly as good as this guy. And I think that Dom said at the beginning of the show that it was like the accuracy stood out. I remember playing a game in the NFL against Drew Brees where we went up 7-0 against the New Orleans Saints, and he proceeded to have like 24 straight completions against us. It was like watching a 7-on-7 on air. 7-on-none, where it was just Drew picking apart our defense. So, you know, I have a firsthand story of just watching him going, well, I'm not going to go to Purdue because I'm not nearly as good as this guy. And then watching him play on the field and going, my gosh, I've never seen anybody make it look as easy as Drew is right now.
And then let's talk about that piece of it then, what Tannenbaum just alluded to, Dominique, and that is the idea that, you know, it used to be that if you drafted a quarterback, and you made a mistake, it was something that would kill your franchise for 5 years because you had financial ramifications, all the rest of that. You would just keep trying until you couldn't try anymore. Maybe now the narratives have flipped. Now that we have the rookie salary cap, maybe we're giving up on quarterbacks a little bit too quickly in the National Football League, and maybe that should be one of the lessons we take from Drew Brees.
I mean, I guess you could take that lesson from Drew Brees, but this is also Drew Brees. So let's not start looking around the league saying that all these other busts that quarterbacks can be Drew Brees. I mean, the world is already easy enough for quarterbacks. We don't need to make excuses for them. When you get to a situation and it doesn't work out, maybe you need to move on. But assuming that Drew Brees was going to be Drew Brees that we know now, no matter where he went, I think it's not a fair representation of his career. It is not fair to Sean Payton. Because oftentimes people say, well, if the Dolphins would have picked up Drew Brees when they had Saban, that maybe the Dolphins would be some perennial power and Drew Brees would still be a Hall of Famer. I think it is probably more likely that Drew Brees would have failed in Miami under Nick Saban because Sean Payton is special. So I think Drew Brees is unique and it's worth celebrating today. But let's not pretend like the only reason why players didn't succeed in the first place was because they needed more time. Sometimes it's about being in the right situation. He was fortunate enough that it seemed like only one team wanted him, and that team also was the perfect situation for Drew Brees.
It's a fair way of looking at it, and we can talk more about it, but the marriage between Sean Payton and Drew Brees is one of the most successful in the history of the sport. Yeah. Sean Payton actually will be a guest with me on my radio show a little later today, so we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, Graziano, let's run the hurry up. Huge week in the league. What's up with Aaron Jones?
Yeah, Greeny, today's theme is keeping your great team together. The Green Bay Packers able to sign running back Aaron Jones to a four-year contract before he hit the free agent market. A very important signing for them as an offensive helper to Aaron Rodgers. We've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers' supporting cast. Green Bay doing what it can to keep it together. We'll see if they can retain their center, Corey Linsley, and what they do on the free agent market at wide receiver. The Chiefs trying their best to keep things together after having to cut a couple of offensive linemen. Patrick Mahomes will rework his contract, restructure it, basically converting roster bonus into signing bonus to save the Chiefs $17 million in cap space this year, will allow them to pursue those fixes they need on the offensive line. And in Tampa Bay, where the Buccaneers are the Super Bowl champions, having beaten Patrick Mahomes to do that, Tom Brady actually agreed last week to a contract extension of 1 year that'll keep him in Tampa through 2022. This, because of the way the NFL salary cap works, will free up $19 million in cap space for the Buccaneers this year as they try to keep their team together. The big one still for them, pass rusher Shaquille Barrett. They would like to get him signed before he hits the free agent market on Wednesday.
Yes, officially that would be Wednesday. Today is when the legal tampering period begins. And let me bring the crew back in here on Brady and the Bucs in particular. And Mike Tannenbaum, I can see you sort of shuddering because you've had this experience. Tom Brady reworks his contract, takes less money. His team manages to keep their players together and they go to another Super Bowl. Dan Orlovsky, when you see what's going on in Tampa now, what do you think?
I think Tom Brady's going to be the first quarterback ever to have a chance to go 16-0, like a real chance to go 16-0 again. Their schedule is butter soft. I mean, they play the NFC East. They play the AFC East. I think their two toughest games will be the Rams and the Buffalo Bills. They're going to be favored in just about every game. I think they'll be favored in every single game. And one of those games, obviously, is going to be home against Buffalo. They got to go on the road to the Rams. We don't know what's going to happen in Atlanta, new head coach. The Bears don't have a quarterback right now. The Saints don't have a quarterback right now. I mentioned the NFC East. The Dolphins will be improved. But look at that schedule. Look how soft that is. This team's going to run it back, essentially. They probably are going to re-sign Shaq Barrett because of Brady giving them financial freedom. I think Tom Brady's going to be the second quarterback ever to go 16-0.
He's already the only
quarterback ever to do it twice.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's the only quarterback to do it. Technically, the Dolphins in 72 went 17-0, but that included the playoffs. So in the regular season, and to the point, and Mike T, you said it earlier, it's probably going to be a 17-game season. So they may have to go 17-0, not 16-0. But either way, Dominique, what do you think? Buccaneers unbeaten. You like it?
Come on, Dom.
I mean, I think it's possible, but I think it's unlikely because they don't care at this point. Like, it's hard to manufacture that level of intensity week in and week out. They know that their season is a success if they win a championship, their season is a failure if they do not. Tom Brady's done this before and they lost the Super Bowl that year. I do not think that they will have the same level of focus week in and week out in order to win 16 or 17 games this season that you would need to do that, because they know that only season that matters for them, for Tom, for anybody in that locker room, is the postseason.
What do you mean
the most focused player we've ever seen in the NFL is not going to allow his team to stay focused? Like, I think Tom, here's the thing, Dom. He's done everything. He's done everything except go undefeated. I think like that is a thing that he another notch in his belt. So, that he's like, I'm the first quarterback to ever go full season through undefeated.
I understand that he is able to do some superhuman things, but he is still human, and everybody else on that team is also human. So when you show up the day after the Super Bowl to do TV, you're a little more amped. You show up a little more excited, a little more prepared.
I'm always excited on television.
A little more prepared than when you just show up in a regular day in the offseason. That's my point. My point is you cannot fake that. You can't manufacture that enthusiasm. You can't manufacture that preparation. And at some point, they're going to have a slip up at some point in the season. I don't think this is crazy. Why are you talking to me like I'm the one that's making the outlandish hot take? You're the one that's saying that they're never going to lose another game in the history of the world. You're the one that needs to defend yourself, not me.
I have. I gave you the schedule. Who on the schedule? Can you sit there and go, yeah, they got a chance to beat them. Like a real chance, Dom. Now, I know everyone has a chance.
Okay, sure. Let me explain something to you about professional football, Dan Orlovsky. There are a lot of really good players in the game. And every week
shocking.
That you play, there's this saying. I know you like to make up your own idioms like it takes three to tango. Any given Sunday is a saying that us football players say. It's a real thing. It could happen. So put something on it then, Dan. This is all talk to me. Put your money where your mouth is.
You didn't answer my question. Who do you think is going to beat them? Give me the team that you can sit
matter.
There.
Any of them.
What do you mean?
You're the one that said they're going to go undefeated. So you're the one. Put your money where your mouth is, Dan. Don't talk about it. Be about it. If they don't go 17-0, slap yourself in the face with an egg like you did last week. I don't know what the bet is, but I know that if you really believe it, you're going to put some money on it or put something real on it, not just making hot takes so the fans will watch the show. You're just making hot takes for fun.
We're talking about takes now. We're talking about hot takes. All right, this is what I'm going to do because I like getting challenged. I'll bet you $100 that the Bucks finish the regular season. Bucks, you get it? $100. They finish the regular season 17-0. If they do, you owe me $100. 10-1 odds.
You know what that's called, Greeny? That's called a small wager for a guy
odds.
Like Dan Orlovsky. Okay, I'll take it. We'll do it. We'll do it.
Bet.
Shake on it. Artificial shake. There
and
you
I
go.
Bet you that UConn beats Maryland on Friday night.
What?
Okay.
You stop
now we're
your
losing
lies.
Control. Tannenbaum, real quick, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to bring a little sense to this conversation. I think the NFC is down. And when you think about Green Bay is really the one team that checks all the boxes that could really be there at the end with Tampa, just considering the turmoil in Seattle and all the other turnover with the Rams. So maybe I can't go to 17 games there. Can't get there, Dan. Great season, champion, but not undefeated.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. We'll figure out the stakes of this wager, but I'm all in on it. We will take a short break in the meantime. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He and Lamar Jackson both coming up short in the playoffs this year. Which free agents do their teams need to get them? Neek will answer that question next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering this. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is time for Answer the Question. I have a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions for Dominique Foxworth, and he's going to answer them whether he's ready to or not. Neek, here we go. Name me a player. Give me a name. The Green Bay Packers need to go after to help Aaron Rodgers win next year's Super Bowl.
I'm going to have to let you down on this one. I'm going to give you a name, but I know you want a big name. You want me to say Odell Beckham Jr. or LeBron James. You want me to say something like that? But I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you Casey Hayward, a cornerback, the most important position on the field. Casey used to be in Green Bay. Now he's a free agent corner. And one of the big problems, if not the biggest problem that the Packers had in that championship game last year was having a legitimate corner opposite Jaire Alexander. And I think that Casey Hayward is an older guy with experience, plenty of Pro Bowls under his belt that would help this team immediately, even more so than even a big name receiver, or if they were able to attract somebody like Odell Beckham that would make you happy, Greeny.
No, that was very, very good. If assuming by Casey Hayward you mean Odell Beckham Jr., I think that's exactly right. All right, next. Who should the Baltimore Ravens, give me a name, go after to help Lamar Jackson get to the Super Bowl?
Okay, as much as I want to name another cornerback, the Ravens are full at cornerback. So you're going to get a little bit of your wish. It's not Odell Beckham, but it's a receiver. I think Galladay is the guy. The guy in Detroit, he's a dangerous weapon, a true number one that I think can help open this offense up. A big target that can run and get open and make contested catches that can make life a little easier for Lamar Jackson, in turn making life easier for that running game and eventually making life easier for that defense and making this team a whole lot better and a lot more dangerous with his addition.
Okay, that one is outstanding. See, we're moving in a positive direction. All right, last one, and here's really the big one. Is Deshaun Watson going to get traded before the draft?
Man, this is a tough one. I think your guess is as good as mine, but since you asked me the question, I'm going to say no. And I actually think that's when things get interesting. Once they don't trade him before the draft, then we're going to be looking at a holdout situation in training camp. And we've all kind of been on Deshaun Watson's side, and it's been somewhat easy for Deshaun Watson because we're all like, yeah, get him out of there. He deserves better. But I promise you, we get to training camp and he is turning down money and getting fined week after week, the media and the fans are going to turn on him like they do every other player who demands out of a city or demands a new contract. And it'll be interesting then for Deshaun Watson to see if he's going to be able to stand up to that type of pressure and public opinion turn against him. I hope he does and I hope he's able to. But I think it's important to understand that right now it's pretty easy for Deshaun Watson because we're all looking at the Texans saying, how could you have bungled this so badly? But when it gets to the point where people are sitting at home getting ready to go to their job and they see Deshaun Watson is leaving tens of millions of dollars on the table, they're going to change their tune and Deshaun Watson is going to have to contend with that.
That's a very interesting one. Let's bookmark that to come back and talk a little more about it later. Well done. Meantime, next order of business is this. Georgetown back and better than ever in the dance for the first time in 6 years with their coach Patrick Ewing. They win the Big East Conference Tournament cruising past Creighton in the final. Now, that brings us to our favorite Hoya alum who on Friday said this.
I'm wearing all this because I don't expect much more, right? Like I don't think I'm going to be wearing this on Monday because I don't think they're going to win the Big East Tournament. But if they do, I'll have it back on and I'll sing the alma mater on the show.
Well, yes. Am I the only one who thinks he looks 11 when he's in this? Anyway, Graziano, well done. We know you're an outstanding NFL insider, but we have now going to find out how you can sing. You said you were going to sing the fight song, so let's do it.
I'm a man of my word. I didn't see this coming. I'm happy enough that I don't even care about Dominique Foxworth taking veiled shots at the media or Dan Orlovsky predicting crazy records for teams. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to sing just like I promised. So I hope everyone's ready. Hail, O Georgetown, alma mater, Swift Potomac's lovely daughter, ever watching by the water, smile on us today. I could go on, but it's TV. We're trying to keep this tight. So hopefully the standard is met, and I have been a man of my word.
My ears are bleeding.
Okay. Hoya Saxa.
I have two thoughts. One of them is you are a man of your word. You lived up to the wager, and I admire that. The second is that all of us are now worse singers for having listened to that. I think we are all now worse at singing just for your having done that on the show, but I enjoyed it, right?
You look, Nick? And, yeah, I mean, absolutely. My ears are bleeding, and you look like Billy Madison.
My only question is where do you find a hat that small? I could sing. Like, is that a kid's medium hat? What's going on?
I didn't say I could sing.
Is that what your son's hat?
It's all right.
You look like you should be walking down to the fishing hole with Andy Griffith right now in that hat, to be completely honest with you. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Okay, let's run the floor. NBA action last night. You saw it on ESPN. Zion proving too much for the Clippers. He scored 27. Jackson Hayes put the exclamation point on the victory with that monster slam, and the Pelicans win it big, 135-115. Elsewhere in Houston, Jaylen Brown scored 24. Jason Tatum added 23. The Celtics coasting to a 27-point win over the Rockets. It's Houston's 16th straight loss. That is the second longest in franchise history. And then you have Steph Curry. On his 33rd birthday, he scored 32 points as the Warriors beat the Jazz 131-119. Draymond had his 26th triple-double of his career, Warriors snapping a season-high four-game losing streak. And if you're looking for hoops, we're the place to find it tonight. A special Monday NBA doubleheader for you on ESPN. Knicks and Nets from Barclays Center at 8 Eastern. And then we're going out west. LeBron and the Lakers, Steph and the Warriors. All the action tonight on ESPN. And you can watch on the ESPN app. Coming up, the Saints were considered a Super Bowl contender with Drew Brees at quarterback. Can the same be said of them now? We'll answer that question right after this. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.